Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. A couple of years ago, I got involved with a political campaign. Now, I'm not going to talk about politics today, okay? But I learned some things from that kind of made me think about the topic for today, and I wanted to share them with you. I'm not going to be talking about politics, okay? But in this, when I got to be part of this campaign, and I'd never done anything like that before, I started to meet people that I had never met before, people I would have never met before, from all around Iowa, from all around the country, and online from all over the world. I just started to notice they were all sort of brought together because we're all trying to get this one candidate elected, okay? And I started to notice this, that these people were not my kind of people, right? They weren't the kind of people I would normally be seen with or hang out with. I mean, now, there were some that were, like me, but most of them were very, very different. And I'd go to these rallies, and I would never normally hang out with this type of person. I mean, for instance, there'd be CEOs from California at this rally. And then there'd be, people that were maybe tattoo artists. Or there's this one person that was, a professional prostitute, okay? I mean, they were all of this together. They were all together, right? And we were kind of overlooking the things that made us very different, because I'm a pastor, right? And but we were all sort of coming together to support this one candidate. In fact, I even started a YouTube channel at the time. It's gone now. But it was all because I was trying to share how, as a Christian pastor, I would be able to support this person because I felt like their values were the same as mine, okay? And what was interesting was all the people that were watching, not all, but a lot of the people that were watching and were commenting on my YouTube channel were not Christians, okay? They weren't people I would normally see at church because they literally were atheists. Or they were agnostics. They grew up in the church, but then they left the church. But they were watching it, and they were listening to me talk about Jesus because they knew that I supported the same candidate, okay? And it was, as long as we were talking about them and trying to get them elected, they're willing to listen to me talk about Jesus. My differences and their differences were they were secondary because we all had the same purpose. Okay? It was just really interesting to me. In fact, there's more to it than that. Online, on Twitter, we would talk to people and try to share, the values of this candidate and try to convince them to vote for him, that kind of thing. And we were always reminding each other, be positive, don't argue with people, don't be argumentative. Tell the truth about the candidate. Don't lie. Just try to get them to vote, because what you say and how you say it will reflect on the candidate. And so, if you get mean online, they're going to be less likely to vote for that person. So we'd always be reminding, remember, you're reflecting on the candidate. So be careful what you say and how you say it. And so I just thought, wow, this is kind of like how the church should be. In a way, right? But I'll get to that more in a little bit. Because this is what happened. The candidate didn't win, okay? The campaign was over. Now, but we had all made all these good friends, right? All these people around the country, even overseas, that were interested in this particular person. So we still wanted to kind of hang out together and still talk online, and I kept the channel going for a little bit longer. But this is what happened. Now that this candidate, that there wasn't a purpose, they weren't going to become that elected official. Well, now we started focusing more on our differences now. We would start to argue about those things that we used to just overlook. Now we're arguing, well, I don't really agree with that, what you're doing anymore. Well, why do you have to always be talking about Jesus so much? Why don't you agree with my lifestyle? These kinds of things. And so what happened is that community just sort of slowly fell apart because we didn't have that shared purpose anymore. We didn't have that shared person anymore that was unifying us. So we kind of just stopped talking, because the differences now that used to be secondary became primary and forefront in our minds. And it just got me to think that that's what's happened to churches, the church, the wider church around the world. You know, when the church is focused on Jesus Christ, all of our differences become secondary. I mean, there are some churches that focus on speaking in tongues, that they read that in the Bible. They say, everybody that belongs to our church, if you're going to be a member, you have to publicly speak in tongues. Well, our church doesn't believe that. Some churches, they won't let you take communion unless you're a member of that church. Other churches, even if you've been baptized as a little kid, you have to be rebaptized again, in a certain way, right? Immersed, that kind of thing, in order to become a member of that church. I mean, we all have very different understandings, different ways that we read the Bible. But the reason we can be unified is around Jesus and around the shared purpose that we believe that sharing the message of Jesus can save people, can get them into eternal life. When we lose sight of that shared purpose, when we lose sight of Jesus, we start fighting about these other things that are truly secondary. They're just not as important as Jesus. But that's sort of what happens in our churches now. If you get a bunch of Lutherans together, if we just talk about Jesus, we'll get along. We're like, this is great. We all believe in the same God. We all believe how important this message is. But if you get a bunch of Lutherans together and you want to talk about communion, you'll fight about it. Or if you want to talk about some of the hot topic issues that are going on in the world, we'll fight about it. You've probably been part of annual meetings like this, but I know that I was at a church where they had a four-hour annual meeting about, and the topic of the day was whether to get round tables or rectangular tables. Now, that church had forgotten its purpose, okay? That church was focused on something that was very secondary. I mean, maybe important, I don't know. They actually had a previous one that lasted a long time about whether they were going to use red Kool-Aid or purple Kool-Aid, because one would be more likely to stain the carpet than the other, you know? But these kinds of things, like, now if they were focused on Jesus and what he was calling them to do as church, they wouldn't be meeting, well, maybe they should meet even longer, but, right, but there's nothing to argue about, so the meetings don't last as long. But like when we lose sight of our purpose as a church, as a wider church, that's when we lose our unity. And this is true as a church. I think it's true as a country as well. I think it's true in our families as well. There are some families that just can't even talk to each other anymore because they're focused so much on their differences, on the things that, and they've forgotten that they share blood, they share a history, they share friends, they share this, all the stuff that made them a family in the first place, you know? The only time they ever get together is for a funeral. Why? Because the purpose is to grieve together, to remember this person that's so important to them. But outside of that, they just can't get along. So I wanted to talk a little bit about this unity and why it's so important. And I'm going to use this book it's called Peace Talks. It's by a pastor named David Drum from Arizona. Actually, he's one of the three people that decided I was allowed to be a pastor in LCMC, which is the church organization we're a part of. But he wrote this book, Peace Talks, and it's talking about this prayer from John 17, that's our gospel reading today, that talks about unity. And it talks about, what does unity mean? Well, first of all, unity doesn't mean uniformity, which means that, when he says that they may be one as we are one, it's not saying we all have to be the same. You know, that's not what it's saying. It's not even saying we all have to be part of the same denomination. It's saying that we find unity in Jesus Christ. Okay? That we find unity in the same purpose, that we're called to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. That's what gives us unity. Not that we're all the same age or that we all think we have to agree on every other little issue, but that we all agree on the thing that matters the most, that's Jesus. It says that it's public. Unity is public, not private. So I was thinking, I've like been on an airplane before, this kind of thing, or a bus, and, you know, sitting next to a stranger, and we're just chit-chatting, talking about the weather or whatever. But then every once in a while, maybe they'll mention something like, well, that was a real blessing in their life. Or they'll say something like faith-wise, and I'm like, ooh, this person's a Christian. And now I suddenly feel a lot more comfortable, and I suddenly feel like I can talk about my faith, and now I feel like, hey, we're common. We have this common thing together, and we start to be able to really share, because we found this unity. But we would have never found the unity if we both would have said, my faith is private, I don't talk about that. Like, the way you become unified is by publicly sharing what you believe, what you care about. And that's true with faith. The only way someone's going to be able to know whether you're part of the same faith is if you share it with them somehow. That it's substantive, not spineless. When Jesus says, sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth. In the church, we find unity by telling the truth, not by being wishy-washy. Okay? I have to teach new member classes every once in a while. And in this new member class, what I do is I try to share what this church believes, what the Lutheran church believes in general, and that means I have to talk sometimes about more controversial issues. And I always get a little nervous because these people want to join, and when I tell them what we believe, I'm worried they're going to say, I no longer want to join. I don't want to do that anymore, right? So, like, I have to share that in this church, we believe that we can ordain women. Now, maybe that doesn't seem controversial to you, but if you're Missouri Synod or Catholic background, it might, because they don't ordain women. Right? But we do. We believe that's an important thing. We believe the Bible supports it. There's other things, like we don't ordain people who are in a homosexual relationship, for instance. We don't marry same-sex couples. Now, there are people in our church that don't agree with that, okay? But I have to say it, and I'm afraid I'm gonna hurt someone's feelings, or I'm going to offend somebody, or they're going to want to leave, right? But I think it's important to tell the truth. Because what I'm always amazed at is I'll share this, I'll be nervous about it, and they'll say, oh good, right? I'm glad you believe that, or this kind of thing. Or if they don't, they'll say, I'm glad you told me where you guys stand. Maybe I don't agree with you on this issue, but at least I know where the line is, right? I know what you take a stand, and now I can make the choice whether to come or not. We don't find unity by being wishy-washy. In a predecessor denomination that this church was a part of, they would make the argument that we just need to be unified. We just need to stay one church, that's what matters the most. And everyone can disagree, or we don't really have to talk about it. We'll just stay one church. But that gets to another thing that he talks about in here, is that unity is a means to an end, not the end itself. If we're just a church that stays together but doesn't believe in anything, what's the point? What's the purpose of that? We have to come together, and we have to agree that our unity is reflecting on Jesus Christ for a purpose. In the book of Revelations, where it talks about, I wish you were either hot or cold, but since you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Like, just being unified in lukewarmness or in wishy-washiness, that's not what we're looking for. Unity, and for a purpose, for the purpose of showing that this is what we believe that Scripture tells us, this is what we believe Jesus teaches, and we want you to know the truth. And that's what unifies us, for that purpose, okay? So can you think of how we could get this unity to happen? This book has a few ideas, and I just wanted to share it with you because I think that they're important. I think they're helpful. The first thing is, if you want to find more unity in the church, in the country, in your family, the first thing is to talk to people. To be willing to publicize, right? To share your thoughts and your feelings. There's this great quote by Abraham Lincoln that says, do I not destroy my enemies when I make them my friends? Right? To make friends. Like, that doesn't mean you're going to agree on everything, but when you're willing to talk to someone from the other side, you humanize them. You can't, it's hard to, it's why online people say such horrible, hurtful things, because they're not actually talking to the person. They're just sort of talking about the person. They're an anonymous person. It's tough to say those things to another person's face, right? I mean, that would be tough. Because when you make someone your friend, even when you disagree with them, it's tough to treat them the way that sometimes we do online. Another thing it says is to humble yourself. To realize that when you're talking to somebody who might be different than you, that might hold a different stance on some topic, whatever it is, to think, you know what? They might have a point. They might have something I can learn from. I may not agree with them in the end, but I'm going to put myself in the place of a student, that I'm going to learn what I can from them. I'm going to see if they have anything I can glean, something I can learn from. I'm going to humble myself. I'm not going to try to force them to take my side. I'm going to see what they believe and if there's anything that I can find agreement with them on. That humility, that's what Jesus is talking about all the time, to humble yourself before the Lord, to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, he tells for couples that are married. It says, accept anger, but exercise self-control. When you get angry about something, and I know I do, when I see something that's very upsetting to me, I want to get angry. It says, accept that you're going to feel anger. In fact, think about all the things that have happened in the world, like big changes, like the women's right to vote, or civil rights, or, I mean, think about the mothers against drunk drivers. Like, all these things, people get angry about some injustice that they see, and then it encourages them to do something, right? To go and make a difference. So anger is not bad in of itself. But exercise self-control. Don't just shout at somebody because you're mad at them. Like, use that for a purpose. Like, it can bring unity to the church to use that anger for something positive. And finally, it says to build a bigger tribe. The way that we find unity in the church is not by trying to force everyone to become Lutherans, but it's to remember that we're all part of the human race, and God loves all of the people on this earth. And so that we want to share with everybody that we are all part of God's family, and we want to share with them the one that makes us unified, and that is Jesus Christ. If we just call ourselves, if we focus more on our Lutheranness or focus more on one political party or whatever, then it's like our tribe is so small. But when we try to expand our perspective and see that we're all sinners, like we're all under the same God, it sort of opens our eyes to see that everybody has humanity, everybody deserves respect. And we want to share the grace and the love of God and Jesus with each person so that we can find that unity in Jesus Christ. So I hope that you would understand how important unity is, that it's important, that it's a timeless idea, that it's about telling people the truth, and it's about, it's not about uniformity, it's about unity. And remember that it's always around Jesus Christ. When it's around Jesus, all of the differences, they sort of become secondary, and you can make what matters first in our life. Amen.